But if you connect with the other person in a psychological, in a spiritual, and in a human level, like she is your other half emotionally, she will always be there for you, even if the sex factor goes away. And this is what really connects you with the other person, not the desires of the flesh. Because then there is no marriage. Then it's just, I don't know, whatever.
Chris, I'm not so sure. What you're saying is a cooperation between man and woman, and they work together for the unity towards God. But from what I hear, I'm putting a lot of the responsibility on the woman to help me find salvation. But I don't think that's right, in the sense that I find my own salvation through my own spirituality, and I'm not dependent on the woman to help me, for her to help me. But whatever obstacles and differences and difficulties may arise between us, it's really up to me and my connection with God to help deal with it. And as you said with Adam and Eve, it's easy for Adam to say, the woman made me do it. No one made him do it. He did it because he wasn't in a spiritual state of mind. And I guess one has to build that faith, that trust, that spirituality within themselves, and then help the woman. And if she wants to return that love, that's fine. And as you said last time, do it because you love her. Don't do it because you have to. And that in itself is spirituality.
Yes, I don't disagree, but what happens if I'm weak? And if when I say to Christ, Eve made me do it, Eve could pop up and say something like, yeah, I helped you do it, but we ask for forgiveness. And then God will not send them both out of paradise. So what I'm trying to say is that sometimes one of the two, it doesn't have to be the woman or the man. Sometimes it's the totally opposite. It doesn't really matter. One of the two is weaker, and he or she needs the help of the other person. And this is why I brought up the example of men wanted the relationship more often and the women just being busy, because the statistics is what it is. If you have a look at the female monasteries, they're like, you could find 100 nuns, and if you go to male monasteries, it's like 10. This is what it is. Men find it more difficult to dedicate themselves. Women find it easier. But it could be the other way around. And then the men, they have to support the woman. It's not just on this subject, it's on everything. Like, if the man returns from work and he is upset, if the woman doesn't calm him down and he tells him, you're this and this and this, what sort of peace will the house have? But if she was to help him, she would calm him down. And the other way around, it could be the woman who's upset and the man has to calm her down. I don't know if I make any sense.
It makes sense. But in that, there's a lot of codependency between the two. And I guess that's what I'm saying, is perhaps there shouldn't be so much codependency between, but rather both aim towards God rather than at each other.
When a couple gets married, at the same time they get married with Christ, the two of them with Christ. So it's like the husband and the woman, they are one through Christ. But you can't forget your other half and go to Christ. For example, and I'm always keeping in mind the general Makrianis. He was, when there was the war with the Turks, he had half a dozen of kids. At some stage, he wanted to go and pray, and he left his wife, like he neglected his wife. And because he was a very holy man, God told him, what are you doing? Go back to your wife. And this doesn't mean that we should neglect God, But this means that if you get married, you can't just forget about the other person. And you can't have your own needs, even the spiritual needs, above the other person. That's selfish. You have to grab the other person from the hand. See how the icon of the resurrection, Christ holds both, Adam and Eve, gets them out of the tomb. This is how you have to grab your woman from the hand and help her, or she has to grab you as well and help you up to get out of the tomb, because otherwise you will just stay there. Yeah. So we think we are strong, but we need people around us, and God gave us people around us for a reason. They say that only the saints and the beasts can be by themselves, no one else. So if I'm a saint or a beast, I can be by myself. Anyone else?
In a relationship or marriage, we are called to sacrifice 100% for our partner. It is a call to martyrdom, you know, in many ways. Like you say, I sacrifice myself for you. I sublimate myself to you. And also in a relationship, I mean, as you strive to become more intimate, to develop, become closer, your wounds and your scars are exposed, and you support each other in healing those scars. So there is the spiritual path that you walk as a couple. That is the salvific nature of the relationship is who you become as a result of the relationship, that you push and pull each other towards God, towards your salvation.
The couples, they need to have the same spiritual father as well, because if anything goes wrong, the spiritual father, if it's the same spiritual father, he knows them both and he can work out something. Otherwise it's not easy. There was this family. Now the husband is a priest. That was years ago. He was not a priest then. And there was an issue in the family. So what happened is that the boy, the son, would do something wrong. Father would tell him off. Mom would feel sorry for the son. She would step in. And then there is a fight between the mother and the father. And the boy was just sat in the corner. And they couldn't work it out. So then they went to their spiritual father, and the spiritual father said, look, when your husband talks to your son, you go and cook. And this was the solution. I'm in trouble again. And the husband had something to eat finally. So we have to respect the other person. This is the meaning behind that. You can't just, if your husband or your wife says something to your son or to your daughter, you can't just step in and so that there is no unity within the parents and everybody has his own way of dealing with things, because then the kids, they will become split personalities. The mother and the father, they need to have love. Otherwise, without love, there is no peace in the family. Without peace in the family, the kids, they end up having psychological problems. That's how it is. We can't fight in front of the kids. We can't show them that there is no love. They can't see that the mother and the father, they're not together, that they don't hug each other, that they don't love each other. If they see all these things, they won't be normal. They will have issues. They need to grow up in a loving environment. That's it. If they don't grow up in a loving environment, they will have bad thoughts, and it won't be their fault. It will be the parents' fault. Anything else on that?
The question is the transition from the home, this is for the child, to transition the child from the home to their independence, or if you like, to the outside world. What happens when you have a situation where the home has taught humility, it's been a good home, a good environment, and the child has grown up to be an adult and carries that humility out to a world which is not so versed in humility. And there's
the parents see it, that there's, you know, there's a transition where, you know, the child, I mean, the adult now has got their own, learning curve, you know, and they want to do it for themselves, and they want to share what they had at home, but to other parties that take advantage of it. So how does one, the parent, handle that? Because the parent can see it happening in front of them, and they...
You mean the father-in-law?
What's that?
You mean the father-in-law?
No, the father, the parents. No,
okay.
This is a transition where the child moves out of the home, not into marriage.
Not to get married,
but
yes.
It's a transition,
okay,
of learning on their own.
Okay.
On their own.
So how does the father handle that?
How do the parents handle seeing it unfold and not being able to, you know, take hold of it and, limit the damage?
Yes. Not everything is black and white. Every situation is different. But if you give your children the right foundation, then they will build accordingly. If you don't give them the right foundation, whatever they will build will not be proper. If you see your children suffering later on in life, you will try and help them. But at the end of the day, sometimes it's better if you just stay back and pray. So if they know how to deal with things properly and spiritually, God will show them the way out. So sometimes even just say few things, as less as possible, and pray more for them. And God will help them, because He brought them into life. I mean, they are our children, but He brought them into life. So this is not an aimless action. There is a reason behind their creation. He won't let them down. He will always be there for them. And if worse comes to worse, the children, they have to understand that now that they moved on into their lives, they have to make the right choices. It's not always easy to make the right choice, and sometimes it's painful to stop seeing people and stop associating with certain people, but sometimes it's necessary. Because if you don't do that, they will suck all the life out of you, and then you will waste your life. So you have to make choices in life. And that's why the parents, from young, they have to show to their children how to be responsible. And not only how to be responsible, but sometimes how to take responsibility of the others. For example, let's say that I've got a son and he does something. If I'm a good father, I will take the responsibility. But now if the son sees that, he will become responsible himself. And then if this is a case like this in the future, he will deal accordingly. But he also has to know that if there is something wrong in his life, he needs to cut it off. It's up to us how to bring them up. And then when we do, then they are old enough and they have brains, they have to use them. Yeah. I'm not saying it's easy, but it is what it is. Yeah. What do you think?
It matches on some of the other aspects you speak of, you know, ignorance and forgetfulness, because a child that has been brought up in a home where the foundations were right, the church was there, etc., and then they go out, and it's the element of ignorance and forgetfulness. My concern is, can it be a lifelong a life of complete ignorance and to the point where there is no return, and those are the things you So, I mean, one of the aspects is spending more time in ignorance, bring you closer to coming back to, or get you deeper in, and that's the unknown, I suppose, that belongs to God. But it's, I just don't, the other aspect, just touching on, is that it's the other outside parties. So, the child might have learned responsibility in the house, but takes it and now is responsible for a person that's actually, taking advantage of it. It's maybe doing well, not sure. Take a situation where you're not sure whether it's doing well, but the aspect of taking advantage of what is a good, taking responsibility of someone else in a normal situation, like a parent does it as a child, the same kind of put forward to a third party or from the outside party is not doing, it's not positive. In the initial stages, anyway, I'm not sure if it turns positive. But so, how long? I suppose the question there is, how long do you wait and pray? When do you actually see a turning point, or expect to see a turning point
in your children's life?
Yeah, in your adult children's life.